It's now time to look through the window of baseball with our good friend and good baseball man, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. It's brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and their new showroom. And take a look at it down in Monterey. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. What's going on?
Well, I'm down here do you like this ballpark? I kind of like it.
Well, I understand it's a little steamy outside.
It's 110.
Yeah, I love the park. I mean, I've been there on days like that, and when you just walking from the parking lot to this ballpark, you're going, good grief, I gotta get out of this heat. And that's all very nice. It's nice when the roof's open and on sort of a nice spring, late summer night. The park itself, it doesn't really have any great distinguishing features. I've never really wanted to have a pool in my ballpark. I'm kind of quirky that way. I don't think they had one at Ebbets Field, did they?
We had bathtubs. That's all we had. I'm not even sure we had a shower. Did we have shower? I don't even know what we had.
It's perfectly fine, but I don't really cherish the experience. Let's put it that way.
Well, with the roof closed, it's okay. I kind of find it colorful, I'll tell you that. But this is Arizona air, and I'll tell you, last night the Giants hit the ball very hard. It just didn't go out. The Diamondbacks hit the ball very hard. The Giants didn't catch it, but you do get a different game down here. The ball does travel down here.
Yeah, and every time you think you have it wired, something happens that you didn't expect. I mean, I would have sworn that Goldschmidt ball in the sixth inning was going out, especially because Lincecum served it up, and it didn't. Then again, Blanco, I think, was fooled by a ball that went over his head. So, and the interesting part about it is that when the roof's closed, I mean, there's zero elements. I mean, the wind is obviously not in play, and yet it's still a little bit tough to predict what's going to happen there.
So what do you think? 9 of 10, it's part of a baseball season in the big picture. If this happened September 15th to the 24th, you make your reservations in Cabo San Lucas very quickly. But this time of year, even though 9 of 10, it's not great, but boy, they had a big, big, big lead. And I guess they're, money in the bank, as I said.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, you always get ups and downs in a season. You don't want to have them in such extremes. I mean, I think right before the losing streak started, someone on ESPN wrote that the race was over.
And he was about Bob Nightingale? Bob Nightingale buried the Dodgers.
He did, yeah, but he buried him with the traditional eye test that you and I like, and the ESPN guy was using numbers. But in either case, it's a little early to say that. But I'll tell you, Marty, the whole thing to me, the disturbing part of it isn't so much the standings. They do have a four-game lead. If they were to get straight right now, then things would be fine. But the starting pitching between the Giants and the Dodgers is starting to get a little imbalanced, and I think that's what should worry the Giants fans the most. This has always been the Giants' strength. It's what the other teams fear. And here come the Dodgers with Kershaw, Greinke, and Ryu. And those guys are just great pitchers. They really are. And the Giants, they're kind of down to Bumgarner and Hudson. It's reached a point where you're not sure where you're going to get from Kane, and obviously the same goes for Vogelsong and Lincecum. And that's just an edge for the Dodgers that I think is pretty clear-cut. And I put something in the paper this morning. I mean, heaven help you, the Giants, if the Dodgers really go for the kill and try and get another starter to get that fourth slot in the postseason, or if it down the stretch either way, maybe not that comfortable. I don't think they are comfortable with Heron and Beckett, even though he did throw the no-hitter, is not a young guy and could fade down the stretch. So the Giants really need to get their pitching in order. I think the defensive misplays we've seen, I think that's a bit of an aberration. I think they hit enough. But, they're the Giants, and they've got to get that rotation together.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. It's funny when John Miller does the manager show, one of the quotes from Bochy, I don't know if you ever hear it, Bochy says, "We're going to go as far as our starting pitching takes us." And
yeah.
I hear it every day. And I've preached it, you've preached it, we've been around the game long enough, and that is the key to baseball. It's funny about the Dodgers. You're right. Last year they brought Nolasco in.
Yeah.
Capuano came in there. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of pitchers on the fringe, like a Jason Hamill.
Yeah.
Is out there. Now, David Price and Samardzija will be the big items, and I got to feel Samardzija is going to go maybe to the American League East on one of those teams that needs him.
Yeah, that seems to be the way it's headed, to be a big big, you know, bidding war there. Teams will be coming up with some great offers for him, and certainly more than the Giants could offer. And, you know, the Dodgers have a decent system. They've got some young guys. They could get in that, involved in that, and they're not in the Cubs division. So, yeah, where those guys go, and I keep hearing the price is going to be going somewhere, too. So that's really going to alter, you know, the rest of the season. But you talk about the rhythm of a baseball season, which is so fascinating every year. The Giants has just too radical. It's like a fierce drum solo, and then some guy playing the bass, and you can't even hear him. You know.
Well, remember they didn't hit early in the season. Everyone was, you know, oh my God, they don't hit, and it's all over. And then they came back and got all these two out hits. I guess the red flags and these things. Number one, starting pitching, you're right. It's never been really great, even though they ran off about 20 of 24 quality starts, but never really clicked in the way you want to see it. But this runners in scoring position thing of the two outs, that's really a tough way to live.
Yeah.
And also by the home run in a ballpark that doesn't give home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough, too. So they've got to get back to move the line. And Bruce, I'll tell you again, I think they need Pagan back. I think they need Belt back. And I think the offense is going to look a lot better, and maybe the defense will, too.
Yeah, and I tell you, it may be a pipe dream, but it'd be awfully nice to get Scudero back. You know, they're starting to talk about him feeling a little bit better, this and that. I wouldn't place any faith in it whatsoever, really. The poor guy, he says, one day I feel great, the next day I feel like I'm 75 years old. He actually said that. I mean, he was talking about his bad back. But, I mean, if you did have Pagan and Scudero kicking off things, that's a beautiful combination. That's exactly what you want at the top of the order. The Giants' second baseman haven't hit at all, certainly not by big league standards. Maybe Joe Panik, you know, will. If not Joe Panik, they got to get him high anxiety down there. They might want to bring up.
I was going to say, how about the lunatic? I said the lunatic fringe. It was like bringing up someone like named Fred Lunatic.
Joey Lunatico.
Right? Remember the Lunatic Fringe? Wasn't that Glenn Dickey?
Yeah.
I thought that
yeah.
Wasn't that Glenn Dickey on the Lunatic Fringe? I thought it was.
I think he was the first one to get that comment out of Brian Sabian. Or maybe it was Glenn's line. I don't know. But those people are still out there. I think they're at a loss for words. I mean, hell, they just, after they finally settled down and go, this is just a good ball club. This is great. And then they lose 9 out of 10, you know?
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, Joe Panik is here. He's not in tonight. But as someone pointed out, can he be any worse than what they're getting now?
No.
I mean, you know, they're getting an OPS out of the second baseman, which is less than Matt Cain's.
Yeah, I'd like to see him, you know, let him sit on the bench for two or three nights, maybe get him a pinch hit, a pinch run, whatever, give him a little taste, and then, you know, throw him out there. See what he's got. It's a little soon by, you know, big league standards. I think they've, you know, the way they were measuring his development, I think, was correct. And, you know, he was just starting to have success, and if he were to not handle big league pitching right now, it would be a little bit of a setback for him. But I like the move. I'd like to see what he has. And, you know, from what they say about his just his character and his makeup, he's the kind of guy that would, you know, really relish the chance to get out there.
Yeah, he is. He's like a Posey, honestly.
Yeah.
Except, believe it or not, he's a little more animated. Just a little.
Well, I hope so.
slightly more. Hey, boy, it seems like we do this every week and talk about players who've passed away. And, of course, this week it was Tony Gwynn. And I saw a note today. Remember Billy McCool of the Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah.
The relief pitcher, he passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw that then. Joe Pittman, he was a Giant for one year.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, it's in the water. But your thoughts about Tony Gwynn?
Well, I've done a lot of reading from some of the better writers around the country, and I think they've all sort of had a story a lot like mine. When I was a young beat writer for the Chronicle, the Padres came into Candlestick, and I'd never talked to Gwynn one-on-one, and I sought him out, and he just, you know, he dropped everything. He sat down, he made me feel comfortable, and he talked hitting for about 20 minutes, and finally somebody said, hey, Tony, you got to get out in the field, or somebody had to pry him away from the interview, and he didn't know me at all, but he was incredibly gracious, but more than that, I mean, he was extremely informative. And through the years, I always enjoyed how, you know, some ball players are so wrapped up in their own wonderfulness that they don't appreciate their peers or maybe even their superiors. But the things Gwynn liked to talk about most were about guys like Bonds. He was in awe of Bonds, or Ted Williams. You know, that's when he really got going. He never thought he was that great of a hitter. He felt like he had to work as hard as he did, which was maniacal, just to stay, you know, on top of things. But he loved to talk about the really good ones. And meanwhile, this is a guy that, I know it's not about the numbers, but I mean, this is a guy who hit 415 against Greg Maddux in like 100 plus at bats and never struck out.
Yeah.
The guy, one season he struck out like 15 times in 500 plus at bats. Over an 8-year period, he swung and missed at pitches like, this is a Verducci stat, he swung and missed at pitches like an average of 3 times a week over 8 years. I mean, this is like individual games for these guys today. And he had 302 on the 0-2 pitch. I mean, some of the stats he put up, you look at them and you think, now wait a minute now, what? I remember him being great, but that's just crazy. And of course, you know, he would have loved. There weren't many shifts back when he played, but and they were mostly for, you know, dead pull lefty hitters, really. But he would have loved to have seen a shift against him. I think he would have had a hard time not just breaking out laughing.
Well, you know, Bruce, yeah, I mean, if you go on with it, I love it. I love to hear this, and please do. But I was just going to jump in and say, if anyone could see video of him when he came up, mm-hmm. just take a look at this guy, the arm and the stolen bases. And I mean, that, to me, you forget what kind of player he was.
He stole over 50 bases one of his big hitting years. Oh, my God. I mean, people aren't doing that now. The league leader, I mean, I don't know what Billy Hamilton's going to do, but... You know, the league leaders are going to be that or less. I read somewhere where he hit an upper deck. Well, he hit a massive home run in the World Series off David Wells, and you know, a lot of writers were there who hadn't seen him play much, and they're just looking at his numbers and they're asking him like, "Whoa, boy, where'd you come up with that? That must have been amazing." He goes, "I've done that quite a few times. Maybe you haven't seen me, you know." Seen my whole career. I mean, he was an amazing guy. He won 5 Gold Gloves.
Yeah.
And just, you know, what a career and what a life, and really what a shame that he was so, and he admitted it, he was fully addicted to chewing tobacco. I mean, it's the first thing he wanted to do in the morning. Let's get up and go and have a little chew, you know. And,
wow.
And
wow.
It kind of did him in.
Well, beautifully said. Yeah, beautifully said. And, you know, I've been on the road. I don't know if you've written about him. I haven't, you know, I don't get your column online. I don't know what happens. I don't know where it goes. But,
well, you go on SF Gate and then you look for my picture and then you call it up and you get some archived columns. But you know, John Shea, who knew Tony Gwynn very well, did a wonderful tribute right away.
Oh, good.
Which really covered our as far as the Chronicle. But I feel like writing about him, maybe when the Padres come in, I think it's worth more than just a single tribute to remember them.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you do. That'll be great. That's next Monday. They come in on just a couple of days. They'll be in.
Yeah.
You talk about the Padres. I saw a stat today. The Padres are hitting .216 as a team. They're getting close to 1910 White Sox that hit .211 for the worst ever. How about that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that should give Giants fans a little burst of encouragement that they stormed back to beat Kenley Jansen and the Dodgers last night.
Really? I'm telling you, this is what baseball is this year. There's no clear cut. Now, it may play out over the summer. You know that. And the rotations kick in and things happen. David Price ends up in someone's rotation. But, boy, I'll tell you something. Every team has got trouble. Every team.
Every team's got trouble. And if you're a fan of the Giants, I think you can pretty much count on the fact that they're going to be in this race. Who knows how it's going to end? But you know, come the 1st of September, they're going to be in the race. It's going to be a great month, and that's really all you can ask. You know, the worst thing is if you are San Diego and you're just trying to spoil somebody else's party. And I think they'll be right in the middle of it.
Yeah. One last thing, we'll let you go. I appreciate having Bruce Jenkins on with us, Bruce. Down here, Ryan Braun this week, he got drilled by the Diamondbacks. And I asked around, I said, well, what was this all about? And talking to different people in the press box and all that. Kurt Gibson was so upset that Braun was on the PEDs because he had this tremendous, if you remember, the I guess it was the this division series against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And knocked him out. And they were waiting for him because, of course, now he's busted for all this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, they just drilled the heck out of the guy. And then the beanball started. And then the pitcher, this Evan Marshall, hits I guess maybe it was Braun. I forget who he hits. They throw him out of the game, and they meet him at the top step of the dugout and congratulate him like he just saved the seventh game of the World Series. This is, I mean, I haven't seen that ever.
Yeah, that was, well, Ryan Braun stirs some very unusual emotions. I think it was, you know, more than the fact, you know, that he appeared to be juiced when he did those things was, you know, the really pathetic aftermath of that, you know, lying about it and setting up an innocent collector, you know, sample collector, and that whole thing. It was just so, he just came off as a complete phony. And he's been paying the price in little ways, you know, heckling here, and maybe a couple teammates aren't quite as fond of him as they were. But, you know, Gibson took it, not terribly surprising. He took it to a new level there, but it's pretty strange. Pretty strange. I'll say one thing: Ryan Braun can hit, you know, hungover, juiced, whatever, straight for 5 years. He'll be able to hit.
Yeah.
He's going to keep hitting, and he's going to keep ticking people off.
Yeah, but that's Kirk Gibson. I'm telling you, it's amazing to see the reception this guy gets. We'll talk tomorrow about this. People don't charge the mound anymore.
Well, they don't, but you know what? It could happen twice in the next week. You know, people always say, well, why is this happening? Why? Well, baseball will teach you that you can't explain it. And I'm serious. It could happen three times next week. I mean, the emotions that go through someone's mind when he feels he's been drilled to the wrong, you know, for no reason or in the head or whatever, that's never going to change. Somebody's going to snap.
Boy, fun.
That's my early take.
All right. Well, we'll see. We got plenty to talk about tomorrow. I appreciate you being on today, and have a good night. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Always a pleasure to have him on.